You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
We'll finish up what head coach Sean Payton had to say, of course, about Bowie Gay. Love to get your opinions on it. You can call us 800-998-1003 or tweet it at ESPN Radio NOLA. Barry Hurstius will follow us here in a matter of minutes as he will give his take. He wrote an opinion piece saying flat out, it's been 6 years. I'm ready for the apology. Bottom of the hour, Ken Berthelot's going to stop by and have a little conversation with us. He called a prep game last night that will feature, oh, that did feature a Tulane commit and an LSU commit. How did they do in fair? So we'll chat with him a little bit about that. And at 2:15, Marlon Favorite. We'll talk LSU and Florida and Saints and Washington as well. First, Mr. Jay Hargrave, welcome to hour number two of your weekend.
It's
Well, I did feel welcome before that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're happy.
No, I'm not.
There you are.
No, I'm miserable now.
Nope. Becca, letting you know you made it to the weekend. Jordan, the intern here as well at ESPN Radio NOLA.
You saw Jordan playing the air drums over there?
He was.
I mean, he looks like he could be a drummer for Rebecca Black. Yep. He really does.
I'll tell you what, he's looking forward to the weekend as well. And on top of everything, you can join us over on Twitter, several discussions we're talking about as well, including, look, I posted the story. It's the number one headline on the upper right on CBSSports.com, and it's, you know, Kyrie Irving supposedly talked to AD about coming to Boston. That apparently now puts him in a Celtics jersey. It's time for everyone to panic. And boo-hoo, there you go, the rest of the season. Anyway, you know how I feel about it. But we can address it if you like as well. Let me wrap up and finish before we bring in Barry. What we were listening to, again, Graham Messinger had this conversation with Sean Payton about Bounty Gate, and this is the last minute here.
Your sister said she knew, like, not to contact you for the first couple months you were out. Why?
When you say a year and you're not able to talk to any coach, you're not able to talk to any other player, and you know that the league office actually contacted two other owners to talk to Mr. Benson about finding a way to have you fired. Like, they are trying to break you.
Why do you think they wanted you fired?
I know that, well, I just know that the late Mr. Benson, to his credit, came to me and said I had just gotten two calls from two other league owners, and I knew that came from the league office. I remember getting back that year, being at the owners' meetings, having a chance to go over to, it would be normal to go over and say hello to another owner and another team, and having a chance to go over and say hello to the one owner and thanking him for all the support in a way where he looked and then said, you're welcome, and then finding the other owner and doing the same thing, and it just felt good to sit back down.
They knew you knew.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's smiling as he's saying that. Jay, I'll give you your first take here, and then we'll bring in Barry Hurstius, who wrote a column this morning saying he's ready for the apology from the NFL. I don't think you'll ever get one. But, again, it's very rare to – I've never heard Sean like that be very candid and say they were out to get me. They wanted me fired. They tried to break me. And him confronting owners that wanted that. And I think a lot of Saints fans feel that way. You know how I feel. Look, I absolutely think they were made the guinea pig and the poster child for all of this other stuff. I also think, in my mind, at least we were told during the investigation there were several times for them to stop it. And you kind of heard Sean mention there, hey, it's not that. He never said it didn't happen. He said it was the thought that it happened for 3 years. So, again, regardless, though, the punishments were ridiculous. It's never happened. No GM or head coach has been banished yet, ever.
Look, did the Saints do it? Yes, they did. Did every other team in the NFL do it? Yes, they did. It goes on everywhere. Here's the thing. One, how did this thing break? It was supposedly the Gleason documentary. There's guys with cameras in the locker room. Did the Saints coaching staff change anything that they did?
Right.
No. They didn't tell everybody when that camera crew got there, right, stop doing this, don't do this in front of the camera. Number two, Greg Williams. Anybody who knows anything about Greg Williams knows it's a fact. He pays the fines of his players. He tells his players to take shots at the quarterbacks, and he pays for their fines. What is that? That's a bounty. Greg Williams has given his players money to go out and injure the quarterback. Has Greg Williams been looked at in Washington, in Tennessee, in Buffalo, any other place that he's coached? No, he hasn't. It was only here. And I keep going back to this, and it's the truest thing. Mike Golic from ESPN National played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he consistently has said the same thing over and over on his show when it was Mike and Mike. Show me one video of a Saints player trying to hurt another player. I see hard hits. I don't see intent to injure.
I got you. Joey, before we go to Barry. Yeah.
This committee owes an apology. Jesus. This committee owes an apology. Apology, Senator.
There it is. Want an apology. I don't know if we're going to get it. Barry Hurstius joins us here on the Sports Hangover, feature columnist and editor for Saints News Network. You wrote this morning, it's been 6 years, but you're still waiting for that apology from Comrade Goodell.
Yeah, and I doubt we'll ever get it because obviously the league and Roger Goodell are never going to come out and admit that it was overkill, essentially. That's what I would refer to it as. It was overkill. I mean, yeah, clearly. I mean, go back and watch the highlights of Bobby McCray's hit on Kurt Warner, and obviously the hit that Brett Favre took in the NFC Championship game. And it's clear that the Saints certainly had a bounty on during the 2009 playoffs. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. Again, the videotape speaks for itself. That said, I think what Sean's upset about is this embellishment, so to speak, that the Saints were this rogue outlaw organization that had this that encouraged this culture of violence, of targeting players and trying to ruin, you know, take out players' careers. And that's just ridiculous. I don't think the Saints, as you alluded to, sure, there were probably some bounties on Kurt Warner and Brett Favre in those 2009 playoffs, but to suggest that it was a culture that festered and was encouraged and that the whole organization was this big rogue outlaw organization, that's not what happened. And it was a simple matter of the NFL, who were getting hammered at that time, as you recall, right around that same time, for player safety and the issues with concussions and the CTE and all that. And they decided they needed a guinea pig. Bottom line, they needed a guinea pig, and the Saints were their guinea pig.
Barry, this is Jay Hargrave. In talking to Sean Payton, do you feel like this is kind of water under the bridge now for Sean Payton and Roger Goodell, or do you think this is a kind of hatred that's still lingering?
Oh, clearly it's something that's still lingering. I mean, when you watch that video that he did with Graham Benslinger of right, Yahoo Sports, it's evident. I mean, when Benslinger asked him the question. Sean is unprompted and goes into almost like 2.5-3 minutes worth of how the thing broke down. And so look, he wouldn't have said all what he said if he didn't still have some sort of emotional baggage or some kind of feelings over it. I think he feels like he was screwed, the league was screwed, and one of the more interesting things that I saw was the fact that he made the reference to two NFL owners who were adamant with Tom Benson trying to get him taken out. Now, I've had Saints fans ask me all day, who were the two owners? I know there's a lot of speculation that Arthur Blank of the Falcons is one of those owners. It never did say who they were, but Sean made it a point, as he told Benslinger, those two owners, they know that I know who they were. So.
I'd love to know who the two owners were, honestly, to be honest with you.
But I kind of agree with Barry. I think Arthur Blank may be one of them.
You know, here's the thing I think what's interesting, because to your point, you heard Sean say, look, it, you know, because the language, the terminology, and how people talk about the game. I mean, I have. I've changed it, right, just because of the culture that we're in now. You know, you can't say the Texas shootout anymore. It's just because of, unfortunately, stupidity and things that have happened in this, you know,
in our culture, yeah.
Right. You know, you have to be careful with how you use your language. I mean, you honestly do, right? And it's on every aspect, not just sports, but business, personal communication, whatever. But, I mean, when I grew up, yeah, I mean, I sat in the stands as a kid and heard, kill him. You know, get him. Kill him. Hurt him. Yeah. You know, put him in the, you know, put him in, I mean, the Karate Kid's famous scene. Put him in the body bag. You know, I mean, it's, those are terminologies of, you know, finish the job, get them out. And absolutely, when you played football, if a guy is killing you and he's unstoppable, I mean, you're like, dude, you gotta take, I mean, you know, put a good hit on him so he stops throwing touchdowns on you. I mean, that's the game. So I think that's what you heard Sean say there. It's like, look, there are things you do to try to win the game. If Marshall, I mean, I remember from the Hazlitt era, you know, with Marshall Faulk. I mean, not Marshall Faulk, with Michael Vick. You know, he would talk about, look, he's a small back. If you can get a good hit on him, get a good hit on him to where he can't run around like that. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think it was a bounty. I think it was the whole situation of the terminology, the concussion stuff coming out. The NFL said, aha. I think they probably had an axe to grind with Sean Payton already. And they used this. And to your point, Barry, I think it was absolutely overkill.
Yeah. You know, look, there's no question that, the Saints were made the guinea pig out of this. They had to make people think or give the public perception that they were being proactive about addressing player safety. And, you know, well, what better way than to make an example of the team that allegedly, you know, was a team responsible for that type of play or that type of, you know, those type of indiscretion, so to speak. And so, yeah, again, the Saints, I guess essentially you could say they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, that could have been any team. That could have been any NFL team that was having a great season with a top-rated defense that made plays. And that's what the Saints defense did that year. They made plays and, you know, had what, 13-game winning streak, wound up winning the Super Bowl. But again, I just think that this inference that the NFL tried to make back at that time that this was a dirty rogue organization, it just doesn't fly. And again, yeah, look, it's 6 years removed from it. Nobody wants to rehash or relitigate the whole thing, but I personally just think, and based on what I saw in that video, that it would be nice. I don't expect it, but it would be nice for the NFL to say, you know what? Maybe we overstepped the bounds a little bit, and in hindsight, that New Orleans Saints, you know, the Bounty Gate situation was maybe something that we exceeded the punishment a little bit. But we hope we got our point across for player safety. So, you know, they're never gonna fess up or own up to it, and it is what it is. Look, Saints have a good team now. Super Bowl contender, we should just go ahead and focus on that.
Since you brought that up, Barry, real quick, if the Saints are fortunate enough to win the Super Bowl during the Goodell era and he has to give the trophy to the Saints, is watching Sean Payton's acceptance speech, is that going to be worth watching?
Oh, absolutely. I would rank it up there in the top five moments of Saints history easily.
You think he does something? You think he says something or gives a smirk or good? He gives the
shot.
The Kirk Cutter pat on the back, the old hard pat on the back?
I think he'll do exactly what he did at that owners meeting when he went up to the two owners, the two unnamed owners, and let them know that he knew that they were the ones trying to get him fired. I think he would do a similar thing where he would just make a little smart aleck comment, and it would be no doubt what he was referencing.
All right, got to hit the break here in a minute. So 60 seconds, who you got on Monday and why?
I like the Saints, 35-31.
Whoa.
Yes, I do like the Saints, 35. Oh, yeah, look, Alex Smith has had the Saints number. he's had the Saints' number for years. When he was quarterback in the 49ers and he beat him in the divisional playoffs, we all know how that ended a few years ago. When he was quarterback in Kansas City, he beat the Saints in a regular season game there. So he's always had the Saints' number. So they have got to be prepared and take this guy seriously. They also have a great defense, number three defense. But that said, I just think the Saints are going to be riding an emotional high. They're coming home. They've looked great back-to-back weeks on the road. And I just think they're going to be fired up. And I think it'll be a typical Saints shootout and high-scoring affair. But I like the Saints pull it out in the end.
Got a cold here, but at Saints News Network is the way to follow you as well online, saintsnewsnetwork.com, and on Twitter, at Barry Herstius. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Guys, I always appreciate it, my friend.
For sure, man. Have a good weekend. Take a quick break. We come back. It's time to hear from them, huh? Let's hear from Mark Ingram, who we haven't really got into. To me, huge storyline, and what Sean Payton had to say is why it's a big reason that he's coming back. We'll hear from him, Drew Brees, Ingram, and a couple others.
When we come back, we need to get in. Do you think the Saints feature Ingram, or do they feature Brees to get the record out the way? Wonder how they come out.
You know what? Just win.
That's it.
Just win. But it will be interesting to see how the game plan is going to unfold.
Yeah.
Right? Will it be more ball control? Will they run the football more? I don't know.
Get the record out the way.
I think the record happens as the game goes on. I don't think you go in there trying to wing
it. But do you want to clear that out of his mind?
281 yards, man. You're looking third, fourth
quarter
anyway.
He does that in his sleep.
Well, he's had just over 200-yard games this year. Cleveland. You know the other one?
Cleveland Giants. And the Giants, yeah.
So, but again, as I said yesterday, in both of those games, they had first halves where they were just bad. So, I mean, yeah, the Saints offense basically has to come to a crawl for him not to get 201
yards. He'll get it, but do you want it out the way?
I don't know if that's the thinking. I think it happens along the way. We'll hear from Drew as to what he thinks about that next. It's the Sports Hangover live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans.
Winning team with Polo Auto Air in Houma. They service all RVs, mobile homes, including fifth wheel, campers, refrigerators, AC units, leveling systems, accepts all extended warranties and some factory warranties. They do work on AC automobiles, specializes in the repair and services for over 30 years. They specialize as an RVIA certified tech on recreational vehicles. Polo Auto Air, North Hollywood Road in Houma, 985-876-1934.
It's football season and Pride Financial wants to help you score big. Everyone can use a little extra cash to get supplies, sport uniforms, even a flat screen TV to watch the games. Pride Financial, located on Bayou Gardens Boulevard in Houman, Pelche Park in Thibodeau, where you can get loans of $300 and up. Need cash today? Forget the high fees of payday loans. Stop by Pride Financial today with more convenient options. Join the winning team at Pride Financial at Bayou Gardens Boulevard in Houman, Pelche Plaza in Thibodeau, or visit them online at pridefinancial.net.
When the sun comes up, people around here are already in motion. Vision Communications is no exception. We've built miles and miles of fiber optic network right here. Our goal is simple, constant improvement, so we can continue to bring your family quality service for telephone, internet, television, and home security. Day in and day out, we will not stop moving forward. We call it bringing you a better vision. More than a slogan, it's a promise. Vision Communications.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
The team, it's not easy, but I was working and being with my family, and I'm excited to be back with these guys.
It is running back Mark Ingram. Is it the top storyline for you going into this game?
I don't think it's the top storyline, but I mean, I think probably how he's used is going to be interesting, because we all kind of thought Willie Snead was going to be thrown back into the mix, and that never happened when he came back from his suspension. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how they use him. Do they come out running him, give Kamara a little bit of a break, and, you know, give him less touches? You would think that would happen. Or do they come out throw and try to get the record out the way and let Drew focus on the game after that?
How hard was it for Mark Ingram to stay away from his team and not have any communication with his teammates?
Yeah, you know, that's difficult. It's not seeing your boys, not seeing the homies. That makes it difficult, you know. Like, you hear a lot of guys speak on what they miss most about when they finish playing is locker room, is the guys. And I could kind of just attest to that, you know, just being away for 4 weeks. Not being with the guys, not just talking mess, going to RB dinner. All that good stuff, man. All the joking around, all the kidding we do amongst the seriousness of preparing for a game. Definitely miss that.
You saw on Twitter, I think the Saints put out there that right when practice started, you know, they were using the speakers and they played Welcome Back for him and he started a dance. You got to imagine. Look, I'll say this, because anytime you get suspensions and, you know, you're always, I mean, I am. I'm kind of go, okay, really, you didn't know? You know, when it's PEDs or something on nature, you didn't know what you put in your body. Look, sometimes it does happen where something you've used before gets put on the list and you don't know, or you do know, you tried to fight and all that. I go by teammates, right? You know, like with Braun in Milwaukee, didn't hear a ton of teammates come out and really support him. Everyone supported Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
And even the staff and even the coaches and everything. So I think it was an honest mistake or something that happened that, you know, thought could have been preventable or what have you. But when you see him show up to the airport, last Sunday, and you see the teammates saying they can't wait to see him again, if there was a sense of this guy's not with us, this guy's a cheater, this guy's a, I don't think you get that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So I don't think you get that.
I thought it was a good move on his part to be at the airport. It kind of showed his teammates that he cares. He's in a contract year. Okay, you're looking for an edge.
Yeah.
And Kamara's coming after him. He knows that, you know, that's hurting his touches, even though, you know, he still had good numbers last year. He had one of his better seasons. He's in a contract year, so he's looking for an edge. It may have been a total mistake. He may have been taking a product that he thought was clean, and it turns out there was something in it that did show up and cost him. But this goes on. Guys are looking for edges. You heard it in baseball. So many guys made the comment, why wouldn't I take something? Everybody else in the league is on it. If I don't, I get, you know, everybody's going to pass me up. So these guys are, you know, this is big. This is their lives.
Right.
This is their chance. A lot of these guys, once their career is over, they've got health issues. They don't have health insurance. The NFL doesn't supply these guys with lifetime health insurance. So they've got to get their money while they can. Running backs, that's a smaller window. So, yeah, I get it. Mark was looking for an advantage. It ended up popping him. He sat out. He paid his time. It's time to move on.
Well, I'll say one thing that, again, you got to wonder, right, because we watch it. It's what we do. We watch it on TV when they're on road, or we go to the game, or watch it on TV here at home. Mark was asked yesterday, what's it like for that to happen? You know, to watch his team on TV and not really have an impact on it.
They sucked. You know, they weren't cool, you know. But when we were winning games, it made it better, you know. So I was excited, you know, to see us winning and playing well. And just being able to get back with these guys and be with the team, that of course, you know, something I was looking forward to every day.
As for him getting back on the field and maybe getting as you know, flow with things, how, again, I don't know how he incorporates into this offense. Alvin Kamara's doing some silly, sick things. Now, Sean Payton did say, look, there's some wear and tear. I'll play that here in a quick second. But how he thinks he can get into the offense?
Yeah, you know, work my butt off every day and prepare myself physically, take care of my body, physically, mentally, emotionally, getting treatment, doing everything I can to make sure that I'm ready to go, hit the ground running, and of course, you know, pad level, taking hits, and some certain nuances that go around playing the game of football, being in a full game. You know, I have to get used to in practice, and obviously Monday night, but ready to go.
This is what Sean said in his conference call yesterday.
It's significant in a number of ways. In pass pro, in the balance that we have, the things it allows us to do with Alvin as a receiver at times, and also, look, there's a wear and tear on one player, and you know, we talked all off season about how this first month was going to be without Mark, you know, and the idea was for us to kind of keep those touches in a similar area and the playing time in a similar area. And of course, we weren't able to do that. I mean, in other words, his numbers did increase, and yet there's a wear and tear that takes place with that. And so when you're looking at a 16-week season, I mean, we look at it as having two outstanding running backs, and I think they complement and fit each other extremely well.
All right, so I'm putting you in that room with Pete Carmichael and Sean Payton. You're devising the game plan on Tuesday like they do. How do you incorporate Mark Ingram?
I think you do just what you were doing at the end of last season. You go right back to it. I think a lot of people have underestimated what Mark Ingram means to our defense.
Okay.
I think the defense will start playing better because they're going to have more ball control out of the Saints offense. And I'm talking about running the ball, not a short passing game. Wearing that defensive line out, giving Drew more time to pass when he drops back to pass, but less possessions for the defense to play because the clock's moving every time you're running the football. I think a lot of people have underestimated what he means to this defense.
Funny you say that, your boy.
Another list.
Yeah, another list. Shockingly, Saints are not near the top. Look, here's my thing. I think he does this for attention because I don't think he can honestly believe some of the stuff he says.
Chris Sims,
your favorite and mine, put out a top 10 list of quarterbacks right now in the NFL.
Through
wait,
week four.
Wait, Chris Sims, the former quarterback?
Yeah, that lasted like a minute.
Yeah, the clueless one?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jordan, start with number one.
Aaron Rodgers.
Your boy,
Gus. That
one. Number one. Number two.
Patrick Mahomes.
Number three.
Carson Wentz. Four. Matt Ryan.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Five, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Six, Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. Seven, Russell Wilson.
Wow, okay.
Eight, Kirk Cousins.
Wow, okay.
And finally at nine, uh-huh. Drew Brees.
Oh, there he is. Imagine that.
And then at 10, we have Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I would.
Drew Brees is nine?
I would advise Chris Sims to stop doing drugs.
Wow.
Jay's hot take.
Hey, give me your three.
Top three?
Mm-hmm.
It's clear. Rodgers, Brady, and Brees in no particular order. They're the top three quarterbacks in the NFL by far.
What Pat Mahomes has done has been incredible. He's done it in four games. Now, again, that's what the list is. Through four games.
Through four games, I say Pat Mahomes won.
I would say Pat Mahomes won as well on this. First time starter. Three of the four wins have been on the road. Two of those three road games have been in a division. That's
and
impressive, Jay.
He's come
Jay,
back.
Jay, that's
from,
impressive.
If you're
and a
talking,
comeback win on a prime,
yeah, I mean,
time
that's,
game.
That's impressive, Jay. You got to give that to him.
If you're talking the first four games. Okay, maybe. But here's the thing. What do they say about defensive coordinators in the NFL? Give them six games.
No, I know, but this list is first four games.
If it's the first four games, then yeah, I can even go Mahomes number one because he's
I'm going
played
Mahomes
better than
one.
He's played better than Rodgers.
Drew Brees is two.
But
yeah, I agree with that.
Because without what he's done in the first four games, the Saints are not 3-1. It's not even remotely.
I think you
close.
Have one game, or maybe even you haven't.
It's
won
not
a game
Aaron Rodgers.
You haven't
the Packers
won a game
have
yet
not looked
Drew
good.
Brees.
If you you go on first four games, then you got to put Jared Goff in there. He lit, up the,
three?
He lit up the Viking defense, and okay. The Viking defense is supposed to be one of the best in the league.
Okay, I'll give you him three then. It's not Wentz.
No, Carson Wentz.
He's played a game.
He played one game.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't. Oh, he's played two, huh, Wentz? He's played two.
No, it was one, right? No, you're right. It was two. Foles played two.
I don't know how you
can
have Aaron Rodgers at one. He's had a horrible first four games.
Look, again,
the comeback against the Bears.
Yeah, but I'm going again. Yeah, look, that was solid. You know,
that's one game.
You got behind.
If you're going to tell me it's through four games, to me, through four games, Pat Mahomes is one. Drew Brees has to be number two.
I mean, what are you basing it on? Just stats?
Because here's the thing. The Rams have a better defense. The Rams have more. I mean, do they have more weapons than the Saints?
But here's the thing. You've got to factor that in. What is the list that you're trying to do? Because if you have a bad defense, yeah, that's going to give you better stats as a quarterback because you're having to outscore teams. As opposed to Goff maybe getting a 20-point lead, they shut the offense down. So having a bad defense, in Mahomes' case in with Kansas City, that's actually a benefit to him in this list.
Yeah, it's definitely not Carson Wentz 3. Matt Ryan 4?
He had the shootout with the Saints. But he's probably basing it on stats. How many touchdown passes, how many yards you have.
What he's basing it off of.
If you're trailing in games, you're getting a lot of yards and a lot of touchdown passes. He had a high-scoring game against Carolina, high-scoring game last week.
I don't think I'm being a homer, huh? I mean, Drew Brees is in the top three.
Well, Brees had a game against where he didn't throw a touchdown pass. against the Giants last week, he didn't throw a touchdown pass. Against Cleveland, you only scored 21 points. Some of those were field goals. So offensively, the Saints haven't put up a lot of numbers. And go back to the Tampa Bay game. 16 of those points were in garbage time. So, you know, I can see Drew being further down on the list if you're just saying four games.
Well, he single-handedly took care of Atlanta for us. Without him, we're not winning that. We're not coming close
and
to winning that game.
On that list, several players are at the top because of one game. So that's a fair statement.
Okay. Well, there he is. Your buddy and mine, Chris Sims.
Yeah.
Sports Takeover continues next. More from Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Sean Payton from his conference calls this morning. He says, the Redskins' defense is salty. He says they're good. Better watch out.
Not buying it.
I'm just saying. I mean, Raphael from Vegas, he says, look.
It's not going to take 40 to beat that team.
He says they're six. You know, he wants to know why it's not more.
Raphael's been wrong a lot recently.
Oh!
Here he comes with the headsets back.
Man. He just
the intern attacking, man.
He went USC on you.
I'm killing the music.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, the rebuttal from Raphael Esparza here at Old Saint on ESPN New Orleans.
Don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much.
It's the 50th anniversary of Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal at their summer clearance event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat at 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
T-Bob here for my friends over at LCR, and trust me, because I had an outdoor kitchen with them, it was incredible. If you're thinking about doing anything, your kitchen, bathroom, showers, you need new appliances, you just want some new plumbing fixtures, only one place to go, and that's LCR in Metairie. When you walk in the doors at LCR to the largest showroom in the New Orleans area, you will be blown away. And the only thing more impressive in the showroom is customer service. Check out LCRNOLA.com now or call 378-8300, that's 378-8300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Peter Don's Cart and Accessories, where you get the lowest prices in the area on golf carts and other motorized carts, as well as parts. Peter Don's sells refurbished gas and electric club cars and EZ-Gos, and wait until you see the huge showroom filled with parts and accessories. Now through October 31st, the T105 Trojan 6-volt battery is just $99. Peter Don's gives you more for less and the best selection of motorized vehicles, plus that one-year warranty on all parts. Peter Don's, West Main in Houma.
Sink your teeth into one of the Dugout and Thibodeau's famous mouth-watering Grand Slam burgers or their famous homemade roast beef po' boys. The Dugout also has frappes, smoothies, and a variety of specialty sundaes, and offers over 85 snowball flavors to choose from. Any one can be made sugar-free. Follow them on Facebook. First 10 customers to come in and mention you heard this commercial on ESPN Radio will win a free Dugout t-shirt. Visit the Dugout of Thibodeau, located on St. Mary Street in Thibodeau.
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Homa or Thibodeau locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop-In Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop-In Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
132 Royal Street is the address for Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Joey, go ahead.
That is a lucid, intelligent, well-thought-out objection.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Ooh, a little overruled.
The two Utes.
Going into the break, gave Raphael the business. Apparently said you haven't been right lately.
Well, if that Bieber hairdo says I haven't been right that much, that's, I guess.
So you had the over on the LSU game.
Yeah, I won that one.
And you had the Saints.
I had the Vikings beating the Saints in the playoffs.
Yeah, you didn't have, you know.
Yeah, but he did say recently. But, I mean, you got some winners over there.
You live in Vegas as well. I mean,
hey, that LSU victory paid for a couple plane tickets
saying,
for vacation.
I'm just saying. You know,
I'm not saying how much I had on the game, but that was a really nice bet.
You know, Jordan may want to learn. People that work, associate in Vegas, may know some people. You know, I'm not a threat. I'm just, you know, he may know some people. I don't know who he knows.
You trying to
know some people?
Does Jordan know what a hole in the desert is?
No. Well, you know, it'd just be unfortunate if he suffered an ACL injury walking to his car.
Always used to ask me, "Is there really a black book in Vegas?" And I always say, "Yes, I've seen it. I've actually seen some names on it. I've actually seen some names are not around on it anymore. So yes, there is a significant. There is a black book."
Let me ask you this, because obviously you were doing some other shows here as well, enjoying some lunch with some family and enjoying a nice Friday evening here at Old Saint. But we were talking about the Bounty Gate thing at the top of the hour and play that interview with Peyton and all that. Do you think the NFL went too far with the Saints?
Yes. Yeah. I think if you even ask the NFL now, did they go too far? And they'll probably say, yes, we did. It was just at the moment. That was the topic at the moment. And that's when you react at stuff at the moment, usually you overreact.
I think one of the things that really I remember from that time, it wasn't just ESPN, which was nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of this. It was the news networks all over. It was the talk shows, The View. It was the late night shows. It was 24/7 about concussions. And then it was 24/7 the Saints did that. And look, man, I tell you this. Jay will tell you, probably attest. I think if Roger Goodell, and I know there have been Super Bowls here, I still think there's people that don't want to really serve him unless they absolutely have to. I think there's a lot of animosity for what he did to the city, because I think it put a tainted cloud, didn't it?
Yeah.
To the Saints Super Bowl to begin with. And secondly, I think it really just dampened a lot of what people felt good about. And it did. I mean, that's just reality. And he killed a run. There's no other way to look at it. When you suspend a coach, when you suspend a general manager, when you take away draft picks, you are absolutely killing a run.
I don't want to say a run. It killed momentum. I mean, you can always say, oh, they could have won a Super Bowl then, playoffs or nothing. We don't know what could have happened if anything would happen. I don't want to say killed a run, but it killed a lot of momentum. That I would say.
I asked Barry Hurst this. I'm asking you, if the Saints were to win another Super Bowl with Roger Goodell as a commissioner, he has to give the Saints the trophy. Does Peyton make a smart aleck comment, or you think he does something to show Roger Goodell up?
If Tom Brady didn't, then I don't see Drew Brees or anyone else doing. I think the Patriots probably had a little bit, maybe same kind of.
You thought that was on the same level,
dude? You suspend the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you suspend a quarterback,
not a
coach. I would say that's probably equal. If Tom Brady didn't do the DX, I got two words for you on stage.
Yeah.
I think Drew Brees would be like, "Thank you, sir. Can I have another?"
Yeah, no. Like I said, my other reason why I think that might come after, not during the presentation, is that's a special moment. I mean, it's photographed forever. It's videotaped forever. Why? Well, now we know what Jay would do. Right?
Jay would still cone stun him right on the stage.
Here's what I would do.
Could you imagine that? The kick to the gut, and then boom, there it is, dropped to the mat.
If I were Gail Benson, I would tell Sean Payton, and I would tell the commissioner, give Sean the trophy. Don't give it to me. I want my coach to accept
she'll
and I would
first.
Make Goodell hand it to him and shake his hand.
If I were you guys, I don't want to. I wouldn't want to win a Super Bowl, because I think if they win a Super Bowl, Drew and head coach just drop the mic. And
you think the coach leaves?
I think they leave together.
No way.
No. Not after getting Bridgewater.
I think, look, you know what? Honestly, and I've thought
Bridgewater's not the best thing as sliced bread.
No, I wouldn't even think
about
this.
Sliced bread was pretty good, though.
This is something I've thought about, and I've bantered back and forth with people back in. What is the line of succession after Gail Benson?
That's true, but ask Greg Popovich has said it multiple times. I should have hung it up when Tim Duncan
No, I hear you. What I'm saying, though, is, I mean, I don't know if ownership or, you know, the next general Sean could run this until literally he doesn't want to do anything.
No, if he wants it, that kind of part of it.
I mean, that's
then,
what I'm getting at.
Like, he could probably just step
he
in.
He could take over for Mickey, or he could – you know, maybe be left the organization. I don't know. I mean, he's had such a close relationship with ownership. I don't know if that's been talked about. I don't know. I'm completely speculating. But
I'll have to check his LinkedIn file.
He has so much clout and so much power here that I don't think – he's not done. He's still very competitive.
I tell people, you want these potholes filled here in New Orleans? Drew Brees probably make both.
What I'm getting at is this. Sean Payton loves history, and he knows where people go, and he wants to be viewed as one of the best to ever. And I'm telling you, it burns him, and I think it burns Drew, that they've only been to one Super Bowl appearance, that they don't have as many playoff wins, that they haven't been to as many Super Bowls. I think he is absolutely not done. They could win it this year, and he wants more. You don't think he wants to get close to Bill Belichick? You don't think he wants to surpass some of these other coaches that have, you know, I mean, Tom Coughlin won two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, he's like, no, you know what? If he can get two,
Eli's,
I won
maybe
three.
Maybe Eli's better than Drew, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, though. I think, you know, more than anything else, that he's been able to do that. So I just think for the most part, that's why I look at it.
Here's what I think. This is why I understand you think Teddy Bridgewater's not that guy. So many coaches in the NFL, Belichick has won all his Super Bowls with Tom Brady, one quarterback. If he can win two with Drew, then come back and win one or multiple with Teddy Bridgewater, that elevates him way up into the top echelon of coaches.
He would walk on water if that happened. I don't see that happening.
You think he walks away? That even you think Bridgewater was
just
for this year?
I don't think he does, but I wouldn't blame him. I've talked to a lot of head coaches, and they said I should have walked with my guy.
Right.
Like Popovich said, I should have walked with Tim Duncan. I think Belichick walks with Brady Lee.
I think the thing is this. Yeah, I do. In that case, yes. But you've won what 5-6. I mean, you've done that. I don't think he's won enough, and I don't think he's old enough. Yeah, I mean, I think he still has a lot of energy and life in him. And I think if he was going to happen and do that, it would have happened when they had those 7-9 seasons. I think rebuilding it now and seeing the possibility of a run to be a perennial playoff team every year, I think that keeps him going. I think he enjoys the process of building a winner. And I think the challenge of doing it from the general manager's perspective, maybe the challenge of running and owning a team. I don't know. I mean, the world would be his. He wins another one. Dude, he's already.
I wouldn't be shocked if he wins.
Here, but he wins
if
another
he wins
one
another
here,
one, he goes up in front office.
That's
maybe.
What I'm getting at. He wins
maybe
another
not
one.
Yeah.
He could. He
I could see that.
He
happening.
Could blow seven drafts, and people would be like, he'll get this one, though. He'll get this one, though. I mean, he'll be.
I could see that happening more than anything else.
All right, go enjoy your lunch. There he is, Rafael Esparza.
I'll get the headphones back to Bieber.
Oh!
Grayson Allen, please.
Grayson Allen. There he is. Sports Hangover continues next. We're live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. How many taps we got again? 1, 2,
54.
Three.
One is 54. For root beer, yeah. One is for Dixie, and 52 craft beers.
Did you try root beer last time?
I did. I had, I think, 4 glasses.
That is good.
Of a root beer. And,
just something about, I don't know if it's a beta, if it's coming out of a tap, if it's both.
Well, October, which means
Oktoberfest.
All the Oktoberfest, all the autumn seasonals, man. I love that time of year. And you got to enjoy it quick because right towards the end of the month, the winter lagers come.
Yes.
You know?
It's changed. The seasonal beers change so often, it's hard to keep track of. It's almost every week we've got a new beer on tap. So.
I love Oktoberfest, man.
I know.
This is your time of the year. Anything that is pumpkin spice or anything like that, it's like a delicious meal. Just sit down and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might have one later tonight.
You think?
On the couch.
Just one?
Well, depends.
Baseball on? Football
Can
on?
Can it be seen as medicine to cure this cold I have?
Enough of it, I think, would be considered medicine.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving, and foundations to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Everyone, it's Gus Kattengell, and the Sports Hangover will be live this Monday, 12 to 3 at Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Come check out the blowout sale. There's going to be special prices on select homes, and these will be the best deals of the year. We'll have jambalaya, pastalaya from the Jambalaya Shop, and come meet John Forcade. It's the Sports Hangover, live this Monday, 12 to 3 at Houma's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Houma, only on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 5th, South LaFouche travels to Assumption. Our broadcast is sponsored by Jimmy T. Jim LaFont, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission Seat C, Joe Septic Contractors, Advanced Eye Institute, Pipeline Construction and Maintenance, Vision Communications, and Francis Bruce, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission Seat H. Friday night football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
Listen to Against the Spread.
Against the Spread.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 with Sean Salisbury and Kevin Todd, the nation's number one handicapper. Kevin turns outcomes into incomes. It's Against the Spread. Saturday mornings, 9:30 on ESPN New Orleans.
I'm Casey Gisclair, the voice of high school football for ESPN 100.3, inviting you to join me and Marlon Favreit every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for Prep Weekly, presented by De La Salle High School. We'll break down key games, give you interviews with coaches and players, and updates all the schools throughout South Louisiana. If you love high school football, tune in to Prep Weekly, presented by De La Salle High School. You'll find it every Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 on ESPN 100.3.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Ingram on Taysom. I don't think so. It's a good question, but I don't think so. I mean, we try to each week look at different ways that he can help us, and I don't see a big impact there. I mean, Mark was here during training camp, all of the things that we were working on.
Question asked to Sean Payton this morning in his conference call, does Mark Ingram being back have any effect on the Taysom Hill package and the usage of Taysom Hill? I don't think at all. It's completely
I don't think
different.
So.
And you heard him say, look, he was here during training camp when they were coming up with all of that. I think Taysom adds a whole different element that he can be. And we saw last week, first time throwing the football, it should have been a touchdown. Should have been a touchdown to Alvin Kamara. He just dropped it.
Yeah. Look, Sean Payton loves, and you always can see that Sean loves to have something that defensive coordinators have to prepare for. Taysom Hill is giving defensive coordinators an extra 2 hours of work. He's not going to give that up.
Let me ask you this, because I saw this on social media last week during the game. And again, I just think a lot of times people get emotional during a game and feel a certain way. So I'm going to ask you now, almost, you know, a full week after. Do you think the Saints use Taysom Hill too much?
No, because it depends. Are you going to use him this much going forward, or are you just giving defensive coordinators, hey, go out and prepare for this? Oh, look, by the way, we got Mark Ingram back this week. Go out and prepare for this. Eventually, you got defensive coordinators who are spending an hour on the Taysom Hill package when they need to spend 2 hours. I'm gonna throw Taysom Hill at you this week. So next week, Washington is preparing for Taysom Hill, and I'm not gonna use him. So then next week's coordinator is sitting back saying, okay, well, we're not gonna prepare for Taysom Hill. Here comes Taysom Hill. The more you can do, the more you give defenses and defensive coordinators to prepare for, the bigger advantage you're giving your team to win the game.
Look, I think it's not going to have any effect, really, how you use them. To your point, I think you're 100% on it. It forces defenses to have to do more, you know?
And who does that benefit? Drew Brees.
Absolutely.
Because guess who you're not preparing for? Yeah. Drew Brees. And then Drew's going to sit back there and pick you apart.
Look, again, that play with Alvin Kamara, where he comes out of the backfield and it's a run-pass option, literally, good luck. I mean, again, Alvin Kamara should have caught the pass. I mean, good luck.
What about this?
That's there every game.
Taysom Hill in the shotgun, yeah. Kamara on his right, Ingram on his left. How do you play that?
Again.
What do you do?
Yeah. Who you got?
You got Michael Thomas on one side. You know,
right.
You prepare for this. Sean's just giving people too much to prepare for.
Quarterback Drew Brees was asked, how does having Mark Ingram back affect game planning?
I mean, everywhere. You know, he's such a productive player. He's a guy who's so versatile. You know, he's all-purpose. Obviously, you know, I feel like Alvin is too. You know, man, the compliment of the two of them. I think you saw what we were able to do with those guys at the end of last year. So hopefully we'll pick up right where he left off. You know, obviously I had a ton of trust and confidence in him. And, you know, the game plan always gears itself in a lot of different ways, you know, where guys are going to get opportunities and then we'll see what we're getting in the game. But obviously he'll be a part of that.
You know, I saw Andrew Luck last night get absolutely demolished, by the way, by
he's still
two
running
Patriots
for his
life. And no flag, which I thought was interesting. And the Rams are practicing, and there's some video on Twitter that Jordan just showed me, which is really funny. So a reporter covering the Ram, Lindsay, Thierry? And the video is funny. Go ahead and retweet that as well on ESPN. But what is it? Go ahead and
So I saw this yesterday on SportsCenter.
Yep.
And it was Ndamukong Suh, and they're doing tackling drills to try to avoid getting
tackling drills to better sack the quarterback. So you watch and see Rams defensive linemen trying to tackle a dummy and roll off the second they're hitting. Like you can see, they're trying to not land with their weight, which is ridiculous.
He kind of goes with your strategy.
Yeah,
just give him a good old push.
Remember, I said give the two hand hard touch. Well,
right.
Ndamukong Suh might have heard that.
Well, this might have been a
punch.
And then
went Ndamukong Suh on it
and took it to a new level.
Watch the video.
I think this was a.
Here he is, Ndamukong Suh.
A
comes
bit of
up,
a punch.
Gets right cross,
right in front of the dummy, and just absolutely levels it with a right hand cross.
He throws that thing investigation.
He throws that thing back too. Those things aren't light.
No. That practice dummy, it's a good 4 or 5 yards in the air. I mean, could you imagine a D lineman just runs up, stops in front of the quarterback, and just absolutely levels.
I wonder if there's a NFL rep in flight to investigate the Rams for a bounty.
Wow. Yeah. So
a little hostility there with Ndamukong Suh, huh?
Yeah.
But he's been a choir boy most of his career.
Oh, boy. That's how it works like that. Quarterback Drew Brees, of course, talking about like something that I thought about more than anything as well, right? Not only what Ingram, I think, brings on the field, as you're saying, can save Alvin Kamara's usage and stuff, but I think it's the locker room issue as well, and being able to help out in that aspect.
Big time. I mean, that's a huge part of it. I mean, I think what makes Mark so special is not only is he an extremely productive player, but the type of guy he is in the locker room and the juice he brings, you know, in practice and game day, and you know, just the kind of personality he is. But I mean, it's stuff that just gets guys amped up, gets guys juiced up. You know, he just got a way about him. You know, personality that's extremely likable, everyone respects the heck out of him, just because of the way he works and the way he plays. And he's consistent, man. You know what you're going to get out of Mark every day.
Hour three coming up next. Mr. Ken Berthelot has made his way in here. We'll have a little chat with him to start things off. Marlon Favorite as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. You don't.
don't have to go home, but you can't stay.